The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Let me move on to Philip Boucher-Hayes, who joins us this morning. Great to see you, Philip, as always.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for coming in to us. You're going to talk to us about a story that is straight out of Treasure Island, because it takes us to the shore, takes us under the sea, takes us to missing treasure. Tell us what you've been doing.
It's part Treasure Island, part Scooby-Doo, part, and this is probably the part that appeals to you, there's two parts that will appeal to you.
Go on.
West of Ireland, yes. Number one, and something for the history nerds, yes. As well. I was told a bit of an old scale at a party, yep. About a year and a half ago by a lovely man well into his 80s about a dive that he went on in 1969, and he maintains that they found suggestions of a wreck of a Spanish Armada galleon, because that's what they had been sent to find by a mysterious old civil servant, a man called Melis Clun, who had made a lifetime study of the Spanish Armada. And he reckoned that this particular ship, the Falcon Blanco, had gone down off the coast of Inishbofin, which wasn't where everybody thought that it had gone down, but he had some inside track on it, and he maintained that it was an officer-class ship, of which there was no such thing, in the Spanish Armada, and that there was going to be chests of gold ducats and pieces of eight to pay all of the men on board. Now, there was an awful lot of that. Anybody who knows anything about the Spanish Armada will know that about 50% of that is just absolute rubbish, but there was enough there, and I found enough, excuse me, I beg your pardon, bits and pieces along the way, like an anchor that looked Spanish and looked like it might be from the period, like a cannonball which probably came from an Armada ship, all of which were in around this one spot off the east coast or the west coast of Davalon.
Just to put that into
Inishbofin.
In Inishbofin, and the sounds, because I listened to it yesterday, the sounds of Inishbofin, which I've been on only a few weeks ago, I was brought right back there again yesterday, because you can hear the bird song and the wind, and there you're in the back garden, you find the anchor, and it's a detective story in a small island. Yeah. So now you're in a bit of Enid Blyton in there too.
But we missed each other by a couple of days, actually, because they saw me turning up and they said, oh Jesus,
here's another one. We come to the island to escape them, and here they all are. But let me ask you to put the Spanish Armada in context. Why would there be treasure? I mean, you know, in terms of history and dates and personalities.
Okay. But 1588, it sets sail, as we know. There's a bit of a schmozzle in the English Channel, and a small number of the Spanish Armada ships are sunk. Not through any great feat of military expertise by the Royal Navy and Sir Francis Drake. Then they come around the top of Scotland and down the west coast of Ireland, and fully 26 ships end up getting dashed on the west coast. So it's this peculiar point of national pride almost, that what the English Navy wasn't able to do, the Irish weather and the west coast did. It destroyed the Armada. And there have been some amazing finds down the years. In the early 1970s, late 1960s, the whole country had gone gold bug mad, because there was a find in Antrim near the Giant's Causeway. There was a place called Spanish Point, and nobody had ever thought to ask, why is that place called Spanish Point?
We're not going to go there.
Somebody should go and investigate shouldn't they? But nobody ever did, until a Belgian frog diver came along and he discovered what was then the most valuable treasure ever found underwater.
And is that list you describe in the programme, with the salamander and the diamond? I mean, that sounds straight out of
it. Go to the Ulster Museum in Belfast on your next trip up there. The Armada, the Girona, which is the name of the ship, the exhibition there is just absolutely entrancing. It's captivating. Yeah. Long, thick, rope-like chains of gold, pieces of eight, gold ducats, lapis lazuli from Afghanistan, and cameos, and this exquisite, absolutely divine little gold salamander, only about 4 or 5 centimetres long, that's encrusted with rubies, I think, from India.
So now we're in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Completely.
We're into Master and Commander. So wherever you look, there seems to be another great sort of adventure. But bring us back down to Inishbofin. Did you go under the water?
Yes, I think you have a clip here that I had to upskill my diving from the little amount of diving that I did a long time ago in warm waters of the Middle East while on work at 10 or 15 metres looking at pretty fish, to diving in the West Coast, an entirely different proposition. Now, diving off the West Coast can be absolutely wonderful. There's some really, really captivating scenery. Where we were diving, it was incredibly dark, mysterious kind of experience. Is that it?
Yeah, we have a little flavour of it here. Hang on.
Clear behind, Philip.
Clear behind. OK, thank you.
The sky was almost on the ground for our first dive, so there was next to no sunlight. 10 meters down, I could barely see beyond the end of my arm.
And if you're just joining us, this is not the Apollo moon landing. This is actually the other end of the world altogether. So down you go.
Well, it raised the prospect for me. I mean, on the way down, I wasn't even able to see beyond the end of my arm. I couldn't tell up from down. It was that dark and that disorienting. I was saying, if I can't even find the damn seabed, how am I going to find a Spanish galleon? And whether I do or not is something that is revealed over the course of six parts of this podcast.
And how long is each episode, Philip?
A perfect commute length. Now, it starts this evening on Drive Time at 6:30, but right now, as of this minute, the first four episodes are available for download straight away from rte.ie/Treasure Island. And I've made them of a length that I hope suits most people's commutes home. Because I don't know about you, but I have a huge number of unfinished podcasts. They're always just too damn long for any
journey. And too much vocal fry.
Too much vocal fry. There'll be no vocal fry.
You tell the story really well. Yeah, no, they won't. And you tell it really well. You've got a nice literary twist to the way you tell the story. And the soundscape is beautiful too. So I think people will get lost in this adventure.
It's a Scooby-Doo mystery at the end of the day. Because at the heart of it is... Are the four divers who went down in 1969 hiding something? And that's the mystery that I have to get to the bottom of.
Philip, I look forward to hearing the rest of it. But in the meantime, people can get busy finding that document. What do you call it? Podcast, rather, documentary.
Series.
Thank you very much. Get the modern language right. Philip Braithwaite, as always, great to see you. Thank you for your time this morning.
Ryan Dubry, thank you very much.
Thank you.